of the Lahain City Council's regular session, Wednesday, September 14th, to order at 6 o'clock. Let the record reflect that that Councilor Stu Martinez, Councilor Don Griner, Councilor Adele McAfee, and the mayor in attendance, and Councilor Marco is not with us yet. We have a quorum, and I would like to go right into the Pledge of Allegiance. And Carol, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Are there any added items to the agenda at this time?
None.
All right. We'll move along to the consent agenda.
Some corrections in the minutes.
Okay.
So this would be for the August 10th, page 8. And this is the third paragraph. And just a correction of the word. So the last line, it says, with this method, it will be based on qualification and hopefully not quality.
Oh, I wondered on that. I read it.
Qualification. And that's it for me.
Right above that on the top, the COIC meeting should be listed as a July 21st special meeting. It was not the regular meeting. Here it said, COIC, Central Oregon Intergovernmental Council meeting was canceled. Well, it was the July 21st special meeting that was canceled.
Oh, okay.
It was not a regular meeting, a special meeting.
Okay. Are there any other corrections or questions about the August 10th minutes? Hearing none, they stand approved as corrected. Are there any other questions about the consent agenda? I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. The ayes have it. We'll have public comments at this time. There's a 3-minute rule generally, so if there are any public comments at this time.
And you're probably wondering how that, under a consent agenda, it's there.
So I just got consented.
You're done.
Okay.
And under how that works is if a councilman had an issue or a problem with anything there, they asked to have a poll and it's discussed.
Okay.
And I had already signed off on your liquor license.
Okay.
She's taking over and moving down to the...
They all know that.
I saw that.
Yeah. But we're...
Thank you.
We're speaking to everyone.
Okay, so hearing no public comments, let us get to the 10-year plan to end homelessness. Eric Krupp of Deschutes County is listed. However, it appears that we have
a female,
someone to replace him.
True, it's Cindy Pasco of Partnership in Poverty.
Cindy Pasco?
Yes.
Cindy, please, would you like to come up here?
Do you want me to stand or just...
You make it light on yourself.
And I brought a note. And I was hoping that at some point you had all been sent the 10-year plan. The original 10-year plan.
No. I don't recall seeing it.
No. Alrighty.
I won't swear to it.
Let me give you a copy of that for me. I don't have enough for everyone. And I apologize for that because it was supposed to have been sent.
Thank you.
Could this have been sent to LCAT?
I don't think so.
Better to be late.
I'm not sure.
Let the record reflect that Councilor Barco has joined us at 6:05. Excuse me, Cindy.
Because wasn't Commissioner Bainey working on that?
Yes.
Okay, then LCAT received a full, like a month ago?
Yes, it would have been at least that long ago.
Okay.
Well, I apologize because you wouldn't have had time to go through it, and so we'll just kind of start from the beginning with the document that's sitting in front of you. As far as the thicker packet is the actual 10-year plan to end homelessness, and it is regional. It is inclusive of Jefferson, Deschutes, and Cook County, and it's inclusive of all 8 communities. We have been developing this 10-year plan over the course of a little over 2 years. And in that process, we held town halls in every community, and as well as La Pine, which would have been, I think, in July, on July 22nd of, I think it was last year, to ask for community input. And we also have gotten community input from every nonprofit, large nonprofit or small nonprofit that was influential in each community, as well as the faith-based groups, city, county, everybody that we could talk to that would have input that deals with homelessness or is a stakeholder in that. And that would include the police departments, sheriff's departments, hospitals, DHS, foster care, and et cetera. So the reason that we decided upon a regional 10-year plan was in acknowledgement of the fact that if you are struggling to make ends meet, and then falling into homelessness, or you're already in homelessness, you're very mobile. And a lot of the resources for the smaller communities are in Bend. People don't look at, you know, county lines. They don't look at city lines. They go where the help is. So the fact of the matter is that we're all very, very interdependent on each other. And so in acknowledgement of that, as well as in acknowledgement of the fact that we are Central Oregon, we determined that the best process would be with the Tri-County. We're the first regional Tri-County 10-year plan in the state of Oregon. And so the success of this plan is being watched. And I feel super confident in the fact that our citizens are very self-determining and very more than able to deal with our issues and to not necessarily rely on the state to come to our aid, as we've seen that's not always really effective for us. The 10-year plan and the development of it, even though it is regional, there is very much an acknowledgement of the unique culture and unique voice and the distinct formation of every community. So La Pine is definitely different than Redmond, and definitely different than Bend, and Redmond is different than Madras, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I just really want to stress the fact that this plan, even though it's a one plan, acknowledges and incorporates or is set up to incorporate the individual voice of each community. Covered the elected officials and et cetera. But homelessness, what Central Oregon homelessness looks like, there's a higher unemployment rate in Central Oregon than in many counties in Oregon. There's increased foreclosures. There's additional demands on social services. And there's decreased financial support for the nonprofits. My job as community services development director for the partnership is to work throughout all three counties and to work with nonprofits. Over the last 2 years, what I've seen is incredible cuts in all of our social services, as well as double to triple to quadruple the demand, not only from food banks to utility and rental assistance, but to every type of assistance. So we're really in a situation where if we don't band together and leverage the limited resources we have, we're in danger of, I don't want to say folding because that's not the case, but in danger of not being able to serve to the best of our ability in our communities. One of the bases for our 10-year plan definitely has been the one-night shelter count. In that shelter count conducted on January of every year, at the end of January, we do a one-night shelter count that starts at 7 in the morning and goes to about 6 or 7 in the evening. So that's only 12 hours at most to capture and count everyone who might be experiencing homeless. So it's not like we can just go down to the food banks or into the schools. People are doubled up. People, a lot of homeless people, in fact, most homeless people are actually working. And so most of our homeless families are families rather than individuals. So there's been a perception that homelessness is predominantly those that are chronically homeless, the guys that we see on the streets, those that are consistently asking for help over and over and over, and that is not true. Most of our homeless are families, and so they're working families in our area, and so we have to acknowledge that. And in saying that, we have over 900 children that are in school that are homeless in our region. So I know Lapine and all of you are aware that there are a lot of families with children in schools that are experiencing hunger, they're experiencing cold, they're experiencing lack. And so that's another basis on which this plan was developed. ten percent of the homeless population consumes 50% of the community resources. That's true in Lapine as well. If you look at your clinics and your other social services that you have here, your faith-based churches that are helping day in, day out, if you look at that, you see what the huge amount that it takes in order to help someone who's spiraled into homelessness. And it, on average, it takes anywhere from 6 to 8 months to stabilize a family that has gone homeless, and it takes between $6,000 to $8,000 to do so. That's to get rent back into them. That's to help with food. That's just the bare basics. That's not anything extra. And so, and if that's not even counting any medical services that they might need through your clinics or out of the hospitals. So it's really very much an economic issue that's important for us to deal with. It's cheaper to prevent and to catch early. It's just like a disease. It's cheaper to catch it or prevent it and catch it early than it is to let it go on and then have to give that much more help. And I don't want to say that I'm comparing homelessness to illness, but I just wanted to use that. So part of tackling this problem is that we have a way that we've consistently been dealing with it. We've been, creating food banks, we've been handing out money, we have been doing small amounts of mentoring. It's been very piecemeal, and that's consistent across the board. Very siloed services. If you talk to Neighbor Impact and our organization, Housing Works, Bend Community Center, hospitals, they're all very, very siloed. So what happens when you have individuals that are helping people in specific ways, if a person tries to move from one organization to the next, they either ask the wrong questions of the right person, or the right questions of the wrong person, or they never even make it there. We're making assumptions that they have the gas, that they have the child care, and they have the knowledge of where to go, and it absolutely is not true. So I work in this every single day, and I know all of the players. I work with them every day, and I still have trouble navigating completely through the system to try to refer somebody to a source of where they can get help. Neighbor Impact may have money one day, not the next. But if somebody's used the last of their gas to get there, only to find out that they don't have service, and you can do that only so much with a person before they finally just say, you know what, I can't, my hope can't take this repeated no. My hope can't take, I can't take this stress. And so that's what happens. They fall through the cracks. So new resources and new thinking are needed. So some of the 10-year plan, when you get a chance to view it, some of it you will find will take money. You know, if we're asking for new bedding, or I won't say new bedding, new beds, new shelter beds, that costs. If we're asking for zoning and we're asking for you to consider if somebody wanted to set up shelter in their church, that might not cost, at least not the city council, but obviously there's a cost to the church or to the agency or organization. The policy changes are why I'm here today, to talk to you about that. System improvements, which is what the 10-year plan has done. We have painstakingly gone through every single aspect of our communities and tried to make sure that they meet together, and we have talked to people on the streets. We've talked to the police department. We've talked to BLM. We've talked to the hospital. We have talked to all of those people that deal with that, and we've asked them to say, where are the gaps? Where are the holes? What are the barriers? What are the issues? What's the real-life issues in this? And we've incorporated all of that into there. So there's four key criteria to the 10-year plan. There's addressment, or I want to say perspectives on addressing safety and security. There's accountability, where we recognize that people have to help themselves and that agencies need to be accountable to each other. So we can't just say the hospital just does whatever. They have to be accountable. They can't just drop people off in front of Bethlehem Inn. Bethlehem Inn often can't take them. So, I mean, there's a certain level of accountability. There's also acknowledgement of the fact that then if they can't do that, what can the hospital do? What are some reasonable accommodations? So there's also access to resources. Housing can't be located in the middle of nowhere. People have got to be able to get from their home to their work by bus if they don't have a car or an acknowledgement that they're going to have to drive. So recognition that this is only a bridge, this plan is only a bridge, and the ultimate goal is to increase self-sufficiency of every family in our area. So, I'm trying to go a little bit faster here. In this, there's goal number one of prevention of homelessness. So we have looked at all of those things that are prevention, which means rental assistance. It can mean early medical care. It can mean supply, gas, fix the car, etc. We've looked at all those things. Then there's goals. The second goals are to increase the supply of affordable housing. Homelessness, housing. So, I mean, obviously we need a place to live. Goal three is appropriate support services. Again, in acknowledgement of people's diversity and the fact that you're a whole human being. You don't just need the physical things. You also need the moral support, the mentoring. Sometimes the, if you will, the spirit is just as important as the body, if not more important. So knowledge is power. So we've looked at communication and how do you get the word out and how do you mentor people and how do you support youth that don't know better. I mean, I have a teenage son and the things he thinks of just, that's what he's using for a brain. And so what if he were homeless? How can we expect them to make good choices? I mean, there's some reality in all of this. Systems improvements. I've talked a little bit about that already, and the education and outreach. And that means helping our communities understand what the real nature of homelessness is, that people don't necessarily slide into homelessness because of bad choices. Because when you're living in poverty, the lower you go on the poverty scale, what you look at is the narrower and narrower margin for error. I have a pretty good job, and I know I make stupid mistakes. I think I'm making good ones, but sometimes they're just stupid. I think, well, I'll get my car fixed next week, and I'm going to pay the doctor bill this week. And then my car breaks down midweek. So if I can do that, that's exactly what happens to other people, except for they didn't have the extra money to get the car fixed, or et cetera. So sometimes it's just a matter of one poor choice after another, and it's really hard to judge that. So, better data. We need better data to understand what the dynamics are. Why won't people go for help, or are they going for help and not finding it? So that's another component of the 10-year. So to wrap this up, the reason that I'm here today is to ask the council for their formal approval whether it's an approval, an endorsement, or an acceptance of the plan. And I don't know your official terms of that or what you're comfortable with, but that's what we would very much like to have. Lapine is a key part of Deschutes County, and all of us acknowledge that this is an important area, and in that we want all of us to be in this together. And in endorsing the plan, what we're saying is that the Lapine decision makers or persons of influence and potential partners, you would help us identify who those are, that you would keep in mind the 10-year plan as you make decisions. If you individually or as a group decide to make decisions around the 10-year plan, that you would help integrate into the whole plan. And I, you know, I have to say, can't ask for that from you until you guys all read it and looked at it. But if you have any questions, any concerns, please feel free to contact either Eric Clough or Tammy Daney. We're hoping to launch the 10-year plan. It was supposed to be in September, but it's been like trying to herd cats. So it probably will be October. And we would love, when that announcement will let you know, and we would love to have you be present to make the statement that Lapine stands up for their citizens and that you are aware of homelessness and working with the rest of us in, I think, one, making sure that we're well integrated with Lapine and also making decisions that are based in Lapine. My very last statement is that this plan is not a paper plan. It is absolutely a working plan. So anybody who gets involved in any part of this, as they move through, they can change it. They can say that, you know, trying to do this in 2 years for Lapine is not going to work. It needs to be 5 years, et cetera. And that's why it's a 10-year plan. It's as you navigate through, what does that really look like for Lapine? And that's all I have to say.
We can just put that, I can, on the working council, get, we can put that at our next work session and talk about it. And then if it's something you want to approve the following meeting, we can do that.
Okay.
Any questions?
So, what did you say is happening in October?
I am hoping that the public launch of the 10-year will happen in October. And what will, it would be a media, you know, we'll invite the media, you'll be invited, other elected officials, and the public will be invited. And I think at that point then we're saying, this is the bus is leaving the station, and we're hoping that you will all get on board. And so that's kind of what the message will be.
In that, does it have breakdown kind of Lapine areas numbers, or because it's got the regional, say 2,200 or something? But does it?
Yeah, our count doesn't. It only goes by Deschutes and then by Kirk and Jefferson, and so we don't have specific count numbers. But those would, I think, would be easily gotten from at least some of the smaller numbers, like could be out of the fan advocates out of your school, would be able to tell you how many kids, and then you can extrapolate how many families. But what I do know for sure is that the Lapine area going up towards Sun River has the largest segment of inappropriately housed, if they are housed, people in all of our area.
And how do you define homelessness? Or I think that the average person thinks of homelessness, what you kind of described earlier, to somebody that's out living in a car, maybe in a tent out in the forest, that type of thing. But when I looked at these before, and you said the vast majority isn't that, and I would like to see a sheet that actually describes, because you know, two families living together because it's cheaper. Because of the economy, people have made that decision because rents are $800. They say, let's live together, and maybe it's two single moms with a couple of kids. But under your definition, I believe you count them as homeless.
And so it's very self-identified, and I think what we look at, we use the McKinney-Vento definition of it. And the reason that we do look at multiple families living together is that often people will move into their relatives' apartments, right, or perhaps rental home, landlords find out about it and say, they need to be out of here, or you're out with them, or you move in with the family and added stress causes the family to say, I can't take your crying kids anymore, out you go, or there could be drug or alcohol abuse. The other piece is that people are living in tents or campers with 3-4 kids, etc.
Right, but I think in order to know where you go, you need to know that breakdown, because you're going to have programs for people in tents are different than a 30-year-old and their 35-year-old sister who are living together. They have TV and they have phone and they have heat and they have lights, but they're falling. So while if you ask them, I'd like to live in my own place, but the fact is they're warm, they have a house, and so I think and I think statistics sometimes that, so we say you got this 2,000 or 3,000 people that are homeless. What percent of those are people who are in fact sharing apartments and sharing for a lot of reasons, and while it's not perfect, are they, you know,
I agree,
because we have limited resources and limited everything. And so, like I say, the discussion of a sole person in a shelter who came out of their car yesterday is different than, geez, I'm living with a relative and I wish I didn't.
That's absolutely true. And if you look at our at the count, what you would see is that because it is only that certain amount of time, we only have 100 or so volunteers to do the counting to cover 3 counties, we're only able to probably count maybe a third of the people that would fall within that McKinney-Vento definition. So if you backed out a third or even 2/3 of that, you still come, you know, for saying that they're, maybe it's a tough situation, but it's, you know, it's okay, then you're still looking at a couple thousand people that are living in very inappropriate circumstances. Because a lot of these kids couch surf. A lot of the families are doing the same thing as well. So that you're 100%.
And my nephew's a couch surfer because I love him dearly, and he's 20-some years old, and he's, you know, works a little minimum wage job, and he couch surfs.
Yes.
Yeah, but I don't consider him homeless.
He probably doesn't consider himself homeless.
He probably doesn't. That's absolutely right.
So, is the count triggered when these people are seeking services?
No. We count every year regardless. But do you mean, do we count them because they're seeking services?
Well, how do you count them?
On the form, well, let me back up. What we do is we place people that count at food banks and in the schools, going to motels where people are actually living in little tiny rooms with no kitchens, etc. On the streets, every place you can imagine, homeless counts as well. Sometimes in the streets, sometimes not. So on the forms, what it will actually asks a series of questions. One of them is, are you living in a tent? Are you living in a car? Are you living on the street? Those types of questions. So we are able to screen for some of that, and you'll notice that in the 10-year, the homeless count, I mean. And so there's certain screening questions, but it's all honor system. So somebody could lie to us, but anecdotally, that happens so rarely that we really feel that the counts are fairly accurate as far as the information that's given to us that's on them. Was that an answer to your question?
What about, I read recently that in these counts of homelessness, kids that are actually, the parents aren't able to take care of them, so they move in with the grandparents and they're considered homeless.
Not necessarily, okay. No. Not unless the grandparent is considered, unless the grandparents' circumstances would be the same. Let's say they're already living in an RV or something of that nature. Then the child and the grandparent would be considered homeless. But not if the teen is living in the grandparent's house. We really are counting the people that are already on the street. We don't really have the ability to go from home to home to home to home in neighborhoods to ask.
I think part of this, what I read, was it was information coming out of the school systems, and the kids get counted or get brought into it by by questioning that the school systems, and I live with my grandmother, you know, and they mark that down as homeless.
The school may, but we don't.
Okay.
Our count's not from the school itself. Our count is from the people themselves and FAN advocates. So FAN advocates are aware of most everybody's circumstances, so if they're counting someone, if you will, usually it's with knowledge of what the circumstance is.
So what you're asking us for is some kind of letter after we look over all of this that we're on board?
Yes.
And we'd be glad to look at that at our work session and then at our October 12th meeting.
Okay, that's lovely. Thank you. And if you do decide to do that, then the letter, if you would be sent to Tammy Bainey.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very
Thanks,
much
Cindy.
For your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Dan, were you at the OCAP meeting when they talked about this?
Some time ago?
Yeah.
Some time ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the full report was given to LCAT.
Mm-hmm.
And LCAT was going to get it to the city.
Seems to me, I thought Tammy was going to. Tammy presented it, I think.
Right, she presented it.
I thought I recalled that Tammy was going to get it to the city.
Okay. Item 8 on the agenda is the presentation of the retirement plan for city employees. Jennifer Jorgensen.
Hi, do you want me to sit up there?
Sure.
Sit.
Pull your chair. This is obviously we're hiring some city staff, and we knew that when you're hiring our recorder, finance person, and of course to replace myself, we need that worked out, and we're about a month away from hiring the first one of those. So
we're working it out.
Yeah, we need to know. And so in our budget, we had, and the direction I had from you guys at that time was you would go up to something like 6%. We talked about 3%, and then the next 3% was a match, find a program that would work. This particular program that she works with, and I
was supposed to have a long arm.
I got the message. So this is the same program that many entities, I sent that out to you in a staff report.
I saw it.
The Sewer and Water District have this plan, so as they will make up 3/4 of our employees, but it's less stress on the change. It's a different rate than they get, but you know, you take these small bites at a time. And so anyway.
And we also do, I don't know, I think that's maybe a separate entity, of course, is we also do the Park and Rec, Lapine Park and Rec, too.
Oh.
Yeah. And I put some stuff in there. I wasn't sure exactly what the council wanted to do. Being a financial advisor and selling financial services and products, I can talk for about 3 hours straight, but you might fall asleep on me. The background for myself is I've been with my particular company, Valic, since 1999, so about 12 years with the same company. And as Rick mentioned, we do offer this plan to some other entities in your area. As far as coming south down 97, of course, Lapine, Water and Sewer, Park and Rec, as I mentioned, and then the closest entity to you is probably Sun River Fire District, as far as south, and then I'm based in Bend, and I have groups in Bend. The proposal had given to Rick was a plan where the city can look at their budget every year and say, okay, our receipts look like this, our budget looks like this, this is what we can contribute into each employee's retirement plan as a percentage of salary. The nice thing about that type of plan being a government entity is next year, you know, we've all felt the crunch in the last couple of years, it might be flat, it might be reduced a percent, you have the leeway to do so without doing anything besides a board resolution. You just cannot discriminate from employee A to B if they're in the same class. But if you were trying to attract a certain manager, you could do more for that certain class of employee just because they're a different class. It's interesting that governmentals can actually really discriminate quite a bit in their plans. The second part of that is if the city wanted to say, look, we're going to put away for you a certain percentage, but we want to make sure you're sticking around for a while before you get this money. You can put an ownership or a vesting schedule on that. And most employers do a 20% per year. So you're here year one. For every dollar we're putting in your retirement plan, you own 20 cents of that plan if you leave within the year. So we have a lot of flexibility. It really just depends on what type of plan we would like to design. We have boilerplate plans, so the city isn't taking on any type of administration. The only responsibility the city has is to remit the contributions that they're going to put in for each employee on a timely manner. And if employee X wants to put money away, you also have to remit that on a timely manner. And so we're trying to provide an easy prototype type of plan with no administration to the employer. As far as the investment part of the plan, it's self-directed. So they have 65 different choices to choose from, and I put an investment sheet in there. I didn't put any performance in there because I didn't know what really how detailed you wanted to get. But we use about 35 different fund managers. So what I'm getting at is you're not going to have John Smith come to you in a year and say, well, you know, my plan lost money. John Smith is picking out his own investments. We do have accounts that don't lose money. If John Smith is a very conservative investor, that are insured and guaranteed up to $250,000 for the account balances. But that's where I think we differentiate ourselves from some other providers is Valid, the company I represent, really strives to keep a local advisor in the area so someone can meet with them face-to-face and say, hey, you know, let's design a portfolio. Let's go through a risk tolerance questionnaire. Jennifer, could you calculate how much money I need to save if I do want to retire? So more of a local presentation, and I know Bend and Lapine are, you know, 40 minutes apart, but as locals, we're probably going to get right now. They have web service if they don't want to talk to me, or they can always have their other person. If they're dealing with someone, Edward Jones here in town, they could take the investment sheet, and the Edward Jones guy could pick their funds out for them. So, I think what else? Questions on what I just went over, or how that would work, or how it would look?
I think it offered flexibility for the employee, and I like the idea. I was thinking between 3 and 5 years of the vesting, so that you know if you quit after a year, you don't. It's percentage or something. So somewhere between 3 and 5 before they would get to take that with them.
One example there, just in case you did the state system first. If the city of Lapine did enter into that type of plan, that vesting schedule is 5 years. So 5 years is pretty common. Because you want you're trying to retain, you're trying to attract and retain.
So you know, I mean, and then they of course handle with the we're not getting setting up and trying to manage or retire. That's a whole different deal. That's why all these entities like the fire districts and the parks district use someone like them. You know, so it's a pretty straightforward thing. And if it's something you want to move forward on, then what I would do is we'll come back. But we don't have a lot of time because we're going to have the employee by November 1st. So we need to, at October meeting, approve. There's some little resolutions and things you need to approve. And then we'd establish it effective, you know, right away.
Okay.
And it would go from there. And we budgeted the 6% in the budget. So the money's there for it.
And this proposal that you gave us, deferred compensation plan, on page 2, 2.02, unforeseeable emergency withdrawals, there's no check in that. Is there a specific reason for that?
Yes, sir. I didn't want to fill in the employer when they set up the plan itself. The IRS says you can choose to allow certain things or not. An example of that is loans. The employer when they set up can say no loans. That's it. You know, this is not for a loan purpose. To be frank, I would say don't do a loan.
And that's where I wanted to go with it. I thought right now everything is an emergency. You know, my iPod's down.
And with that being said, so the next step is if you don't allow loans, you can consider unforeseen emergencies. And there's only A through J, I believe. And the IRSs are very specific. And when I say that, I have a whole department that looks at, it's embarrassing for people to say, you'll have to send me that you are 4 months behind and you're going to be foreclosed on. Or you'll have to send us that you have major medical expenses that they're sending you collections on. I would have you consider that, but it makes no difference to myself. I just really encourage you not to do a loan.
That's my answer on the other one then, too, because there's another one on page 3.
And the other part of that, too, as far as the city is concerned, is if you do decide to do an unforeseen emergency, it is our fiduciary responsibility to oversee those circumstances and say that this is what you're giving us in documentation. Employees don't like it, but if they're going to go through with it, they have to provide documentation. The ultimate burden is on the employee, because if they take money out and they have fibbed, or doctored documentation, and it comes audit time, the IRS will go after them, not the employer. And I've never had anyone do that, but the IRS has really tightened it up over the last couple of years because of retirement plan withdrawals.
I was trying to make a retirement plan for our employees as a retirement plan. And,
right.
And its purpose wasn't for other
for
things.
Loans or no. Emergencies.
It's
or
so that it's there when you retire.
And it's almost like you're almost protecting them from themselves.
You are. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything, questions I can answer for you about the plan or anything else I spoke of?
Oh, I went through the whole thing. I thought it was
it's a boilerplate plan. It's contributions in. Employees decide where the money goes.
I talked to Donna, and they liked it.
So what are we considering?
For well, right now, just the report, but we have to have a retirement of some type for these employees.
Right.
That's what we're
So I'm wondering why we can vote on it if we feel comfortable
yeah,
with it
sure.
tonight.
That'd be great. And then I'll just bring some documents. I think there's a resolution we need to sign.
Yep, there's a board resolution, and then a couple of questions that come in on the employer side and the employee side is if you choose to allow loans, that'll be in the fund document. If you choose not to, it's just a box. That's one question. For the employee money, how long do you think the vesting schedule should be?
Yeah, if you guys answer that tonight, we can have it. Actually, we may do it in 2 weeks from now, which would actually might make it better to get it all going.
Mm-hmm.
So, those questions that she asked, loans, vesting schedule.
And then hardship.
And
it's called hardship/unforeseen emergency. And there again, that's where the IRS is very specific on what they can do. And I can provide you, if you need to know more about it, I'm happy to email Rick a form that you can see what they'd have to provide us.
That's fine.
I would like to see if there's an idea that we want to move forward in any way on this for a consensus. I mean, there's three or four questions here that we could answer. One is my experience is a 5-year vested plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I went through corporate with,
right.
And and it's a reasonable plan.
Why don't you take those one at a time and see
okay.
if there's
Stu, 5-year vested.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Don.
Mine was 7 years, but I go along with 5.
Okay,
5.
What? Dan,
5%.
Okay,
so 20% a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
good.
Then the no loan.
All right, on either source.
On
would be my suggestion.
On either source. Okay?
Right.
And the last, or at least non-emergency. I mean, this is a retirement system and not a a bank account meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Or a Christmas account. So, Sue, Don?
I'm hesitant about the non-emergency because there are times it's really necessary.
Would you like me to tell you what they are in brief?
Sure.
Yeah.
For eviction, to avoid eviction or foreclosure of your home, major medical expenses.
Can eviction be in a rental?
Yes, it can be.
Those are all the
time. Attorney fees, repair of your automobile for transportation to and from your job. If you have a loss due to casualty, an insurance claim that is not covered by your insurance policy. And the medical expenses do include your spouse or dependent. I'm embarrassed I can't think of the fifth one. But those are basically it. Lost wages due to if your spouse is fired or you're fired.
You'll never have a retirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. I go along with that.
Okay, Adele?
So we are saying no hardship.
No hardship.
No.
Okay. No hard
that makes it really easy. It's you put it in and you can take it out when you leave.
Wasn't that the three questions? Or was there another one?
No, those were the questions.
Okay.
Vesting, how, when you get the money, no loans, and then unforeseen emergencies. Then the council will just determine what you want to put into it, meaning a percentage for this plan year. And the plan year, realistically, you can start it. We can start that any time. It just, and quite honestly, you wanted to start it because it made sense. Mm-hmm. You could always start at July 1, but you had no participants. Or you can start whatever. We can make the plan year whatever you want. So,
like 1 October to 30 September.
Exactly. And when you think of the plan year...
Well, we want to get into it in June. We want to get into the budget cycle.
The budget cycle,
yeah,
right.
And I would just be in government. Yeah. It's a little easy. Yeah. A little easier. And you have no employees. That's fine. That's mm-hmm. The only thing you're thinking is budget cycle, contribution cycle, and... We won't have anyone that's going to go over the limits is on a calendar year, but we take care of monitoring that. It's nothing that you'd have to worry about.
So we're looking at it being budget cycle.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
If you're going to make a change and say we don't want to contribute, we're going to have to lower it a percent, you're going to do that with our budget process.
Okay.
So I think July 1.
Because the downside is if you have it November, then you'd really have it for 3 months from July to, or 5 months from July to November if you've decreased it.
Yeah, okay. I hate to have odd dates floating around out there.
Enough of them.
So we do, so we begin on the fiscal year,
right.
July 1, but we do have an employee.
Yeah.
So.
Well, then we'll have two.
Because I think,
no, but I mean
now.
For.
We need to start now. Is that what you're saying?
No. Well, if we put the date to July 1,
yes.
That's when the plan begins. So we would be, right?
Are we talking about
this first year? It's going to have to start now and go to July 1.
Okay.
Then,
I misunderstood.
Okay. So what you're saying is you have an employee now. You kind of have in your mind what you're going to contribute for your new employees starting November.
Yes.
October, November.
Yeah.
So it'll be November to July, or to June, excuse me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll put it in there. The plan year will be July, and basically the resolution is we're going to start contributing into your plan as of November.
Okay.
Because the employer absolutely can say when they contribute, they just have to start and then not discriminate. So I will keep your plan years July, but your contributions will start November for everybody, or however you decide. You'll tell me that. That's up to the...
Well, we're telling you. Now, it's
going to
be November.
Okay.
November
1st.
The other question then would be the percent of contribution. I see we have 3%. There's a comment here of 3%.
Yeah, what we've been talking about was 3% guaranteed.
Right.
And then we would match another 3 if the employee wanted to. So
right.
Our maximum exposure is 6. I actually budgeted 7, so we have so we're covered good. And of course, we're only going to have a partial year anyway. So more than covered, but.
So we
and I have no idea if Patty or whoever Ryder wants to add any or not.
Yeah. So we're all on the same page with that 3 and 3.
I am.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
Okay.
Sure.
So I find myself thinking that we could vote on this now.
I think so.
Therefore, I would entertain a motion that we. That we approve this plan as we have discussed and it's presented.
I shall move.
Second?
Question. I'm not real. I don't understand too much about retirement plans and that kind of thing. But are we? Is this a competitive thing, or is there a? Not taking anything away from Jennifer, but we have Edward Jones and Country Financial here. Is that not an option?
I don't know about. I mean, I've talked to others that do this, and they get a small fee to manage the account, and then they, of course, put the investments. I did not look at like Edward Jones for it. I basically looked at what the other entities in the area are doing.
Or Country Financial? Or
no, I looked at just what the others are doing for, and so I always think of those places as money I take there myself. I don't know about their retirement.
So one thing the council can do is you can establish the plan, but in no way do you have to hire us as a company before you go and talk to someone else. You can get the administration to start and then talk to, or if the council feels like they want to call or have Rick call someone else, say what they provide, that's an option too.
And like I said, the reason was, because I actually it was going another route, but then again, we have a lot of issues ahead with our sewer and water, and the fact that they already are using them, that's a smoother transition, less, you know, heartburn, and they will be three quarters of our people that are on it, because we'll only have, you know, so that was, that's what put me to her, was in Bend, the Parks District's doing it, the other
and it's a local rep.
And, but it's cost-wise, there's no issue. I mean,
no,
so
just,
no, we're all going to be about the same. I mean, there's
but
no
the local rep is still Bend.
Yeah.
But I consider that as well. And then, but I kind of thought that it would be a little bit, there wouldn't be any conflict of interest or anything because being Edward Jones is going to be our tenant. So I thought that. Be just a little bit cleaner that way.
I don't. I think that's a stretch.
I think I like the idea that we're looking at the fire department. Didn't I hear you say that our rural Lapine rural fire?
No, Sun River.
But also our
Park and Rec.
And then we do water and sewer.
But I would recommend, because of the time thing, that we do this, and then once water and sewer gets over here, you know, then it's going to take you, and then the council, because there's going to be changes in the numbers and everything, and then you get to look at, okay, now we're together, and you're going to have to agree to things. And the other thing is, the reality is, they will have a union. And when the union comes here, Patty will be in a union. And so everything is actually, when it comes to wages and benefits, nothing that you do today will probably be what you'll be doing a year and a half from now. Because the unions have retirement things. I mean, that's all bargained. So none of you know where that bargaining is going to go.
So our agreement with you then is, if we decide to go a different way at some point, is there a termination? I mean, how would you make that change, or do you lock in for a certain period?
No.
Or
our deferred comp accounts with our employer side or employee side have no charges. If you guys wrote us a letter and said we no longer want to retain your services, we're hiring company X, then what happens is once that transaction happens, then employees will fill out forms to move their accounts with us to the new employee and to the new vendor. And that it definitely happens. Retirement plans, on average, usually turn over every 7 to 8 years, roughly.
So there's not a time, I mean, like a notification timer?
No, we don't have it. Because it's a voluntary plan and it's a really turnkey plan, you would just send us a letter and say we don't want to retain your services. What will happen, as Rick said, is you guys will be July 1 of next year, and you'll have someone who really likes Company X, and they'll ask Company X to come in and make a presentation to council on why if the city should change to that company. This usually happens.
If I understand it right, I'm with you for say 3 years, and all of a sudden my company decides that they're going to change to a different plan. Is it true that the amount that I've got invested with you stays with you till I retire?
No, sir. What will happen is, because you're just setting up the plan, you have two things. You have the plan that you've decided on, nuts and bolts of it, and then the investment carrier. If you change investment carriers throughout the plan, the plan drives what your account vesting is going to be. So if you have $10,000 with me at the end of 3 years and you hire a different company, whatever your balance is on the date of the transfer, that $10,000 goes over to the new account. And there's no charge to do that.
Okay.
And nor is it taxable. You would just work with a new company that had the same type of plan.
It's just a rollover.
Exactly.
Okay. Any further questions? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Dan?
I would like to see our local people have an opportunity to make a presentation.
So your vote is? All those opposed?
Do
Can you rephrase the motion? Can we hear the motion again?
Motion to approve this plan as we have discussed and presented.
With Valak is the intention, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say no, not that there's anything against it, but I just feel like we need to honor our local people to have an opportunity to make a presentation. So, not that there's anything wrong with the plan. I agree with the plan. That's my only thing.
Okay, let the record reflect that the vote's 3-2-1, and it passes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'll send some stuff to Rick, and then
please.
You can go from there.
Okay.
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Item 9 is the intergovernmental agreement between the City of Lapine and Special Districts, Sewer and Water.
This is, you know, we have an intergovernmental agreement. You had one, and then you did an extension. This is obviously some of you were here, most of you were not. Back, they did it a couple times, and then it's floundered since then, and obviously until new group got elected. So this is kind of backdating, and that gets us to where we've had an intergovernmental agreement all along, and it takes out the paragraphs that were disagreement before, and so we just did a quick little, I think it's one or two pages that says, you know, we agree to agree and work together, and all of that good stuff, and kept it pretty simple. And so if we would adopt that, it would be good. And it's, I'm assuming you go to your districts, it's on your agenda to be approved. Jeremy did the, because he worked on this from day one, and Jeremy did this. I told him I didn't want it to be too long. So this basically is taking the 08 agreement and amending it, updating it, and it talks about the withdrawal. You know, the districts will exercise its best efforts to assist and cooperate with the city by, among other things, performing the following, taking all necessary and appropriate actions to cause a transfer and assignment of the district's loans with the USDA. You know, they wouldn't do any of that before. They wouldn't allow us to work on it. And so, that's it.
Okay. Dan, any discussion?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Don, how about you?
I've read it all.
I have two.
I have two.
No, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Stu's fine.
There's a misspelling, miscellaneous.
On number 5?
Yeah.
Yes, you're right.
So this whole section on number 2 is new. You know. Mm-hmm. So, okay. And then this covers this with the effective date of January 1st, 2010. Okay.
Yeah, and see.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, because we've actually, the other one expired back then.
What, so why didn't we choose to make the effective date on the date of the last agreement expired?
I thought it does.
Is that it expired? No, 9, I believe.
I thought it expired January, because when I came here in July, it was 6 month expired, but
July, yeah, so make it 09, right?
I'm in December, is it December 31 of 08? I read. Yeah. December 31 of 08.
You did a 1 year, then you did a 1 year extension, or a 1 year. You've done two. Mm-hmm. And so that probably has got you to the 08 and 09, got you to 10.
Right.
If you want to approve it, I'll check the dates with Jeremy on that.
Yeah, it's so
just
that.
The intention is to go back to when the one, so that we've never been without one.
Right.
There you go. That's
the
so
we'll,
okay. Just the day before.
They voted on one.
We'll triple check that.
First day of January 2008, dated on this one that they voted on our approval.
So what we want one year being and one beginning.
Yeah.
And then we have an ending, of course, next June 30th, because we'll take over the
So we're at that point of approving this, and
checking
of the dates to make sure the continuity.
I authorize the mayor and the city manager to sign.
I'll entertain a motion to. Are there any questions? Any further questions?
Actually, just the mayor to sign the way he did.
Okay. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agendas with the dates checked. Approve the IGAs as they are with the correction of, if necessary, of any dates for continuity, and that the mayor is authorized to sign the IGAs.
I'll so move.
Second.
Yes.
Move and seconded?
With the wording second, extension of the intergovernmental agreement. Because this is the second.
This is the second extension.
Yeah.
There was an original one.
Okay.
Second it. Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Let the record reflect that it's unanimous. Voting delegate for the League of Oregon Cities Conference, item 10.
Yeah, that came in here, and I wasn't sure who was going, and a lot of you, I think, were going, but Patty said only about one of you went through her, she thought. So then I thought, well, let's put it on here and see who's going and who wants to be there and vote. So,
I'll be there.
Who else going?
I'm going.
Well, I'm at. Because, how many of you registered?
I haven't registered.
I haven't seen anything registered.
No, we've been talking about it here.
Yeah, we can register at the event.
Yeah,
it's too late.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you just need, we have to say who's going to be our voting and alternate. So that we only get one vote. So.
Was there just one vote?
Yep.
Yeah.
This is for the rules.
Yeah, what they do is at the breakfast they say, "What does everybody vote?" Yeah, okay, passed.
Yeah. And if they only give the card to the person on this form, so I didn't want to speak for you as to who's going to do this.
I will. I will accept the responsibility to be the vote. Delegate.
Okay. It's
okay with me.
Yes,
fine. Okay, Patty.
That's
good. Want to fill that out, and we'll put that in. An alternate would then be you, Adele.
Sure.
Okay.
You're on the committee, aren't you, Adele?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm the chair.
So we're going to have a rocking good time.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyone who wants to go, you can register, and we'll obviously, if you use your own credit card, we'll reimburse you.
Okay.
So you can just show up there and they'll print your name tag. And starts on Thursday night and runs through Saturday. So
I would offer this to you that there is a late fee. And I don't,
it's already there. I mean, it's already.
Are we past the late fee already?
So
I thought there was another one for registering at the door, but
no.
Okay. Item 11 is Public Works Committee update.
This is, Patty was going to do that, so I'm just trying to figure out who all where are we with that? And you got a list maybe last week, and I don't know if you got that or not. Where are we with our Public Works Committee? Because I'm trying to get that going here in the next month.
Well, we've got Doug Ward as the Planning Commission representative. Linda Johnston has expressed interest in it. Sent her an email. I haven't heard back from her. And we've got Adam Brain and the Newberry going.
And nobody else is. So, and remember, we need people from the neighborhoods, and the Chamber of Commerce gets to appoint someone. So if everyone would go back and look at that, look at if you're involved in an organization that gets a say in it. The Planning Commission met, and they picked Doug. They get to put one on, as the Chamber gets to put one on, and so on. So, you know, and I noticed in the newspaper today when I was looking, you know, we got two or three things in there looking for members.
Yeah.
It is getting hard to get people to serve on committees.
Is there a date?
No, we'll do it till done.
Okay.
No, at this point, did you put a date on it? But if not, it's...
Yeah. I have a couple people that are interested.
Well, they need to get...
I will... I wasn't sure when we were, you know, actually going to bring this forward.
Well,
but
we'll bring it forward. We'll get some names.
Okay.
Right now, we don't have any, so...
I'm an individual that's been on Public Works.
Okay.
And is retired here in the community.
And so Planning Commission's still short a couple.
Yeah.
You know, they keep coming and going. So, because the Flemings are going to travel, she's leaving, and we lost another one.
I met somebody.
Linda May Goodwill, her term ends at the end of this year, and yeah. She's not going to rerun.
Yeah.
I met an individual today that was the on the Planning Commission in Oak Ridge and is interested in being on our Planning Commission. So, my intent is to get him a form, and so I will do some of this. And
yeah.
Okay.
Just try to get these filled.
Okay.
So we can operate.
Okay.
So when I read this, I didn't see that there's going to be a council member on here, and
no,
I thought we did.
Not on our. We'll go back. Did you? I don't know if she included the actual. We did it last meeting. We had it here. I don't think she might not have included the. Try to save paper and not put them in every time. So again, it's not in here when we go get it. It describes what the positions are. A council member, probably not.
No.
I mean, it's like the Planning Commission. They report to you ultimately. You know, and so you don't usually have council members on.
That's what's on the website.
What's that?
The council member will be.
Whatever it says. I mean, the document's a resolution, so one thing about it, it says what it says, and it is what it is.
Because I think on this particular committee, I think it's important to have a council presence.
Then I can go look. I mean, like I said, I made you copies for this just 2 weeks ago. I might go get it, see, because I don't remember which ones have them and which ones don't. We'd have to change the resolution if it's not right. You have it? Oh, Sean has it. Oh, you have it. Okay, the committee is established. It will consist of one member will be appointed from each of the three neighborhoods, which are the ones that the planning folks have done. Okay. One member will be appointed from the chamber, so Dan and I can find someone. Mm-hmm. One would be appointed from the Planning Commission, which that's been done. Two members will be appointed from the public at large. Notwithstanding anything contained in this resolution, to the contrary, no more than three members will be non-residents. So you could have three non-residents. Members receive no compensation. Yeah. So it looks like it's a seven-person committee and no council person. That's the resolution 2013.
I actually...
The announcement on the website needs to be changed.
We can change that.
Okay. Because it's misleading.
It's not a big deal. I mean, if that part of it. If no council...
Just change it.
Yeah, we'll change it. It's...
Yeah. I personally think that since that's a committee that will bring things to a council, that I don't see the need for somebody from the council to be on it.
Well, in my experience, when it's a committee like this, is that it's important that there's a council presence so that it can bring forward, like, the council ideas and policies and the goals. Is that unless these people come to the council meetings, it just adds another perspective. I think it's...
You know, one thing you can do, the council gets to pick two people. Nowhere does it say it can't be a councilman.
It could be some representing one of the neighborhoods.
I mean, so you could appoint, because it doesn't say you can't. So you could just say, you know, as a policy this year, the next council may want to do it differently. You could just say, let's go ahead and appoint one of us to fill that.
But wouldn't you have a conflict of interest?
I don't think so. I attended a lot of the Planning Commission meetings, and I know that it was very interesting to sit there and go listen to the process, and every once in a while they'd turn to me and ask mm-hmm. me what the council had been talking yeah. about. And at times I was able to answer, and sometimes I wasn't. But the point is, I think even if they're not on the committee, I would like to see somebody from the council just to sit there and observe, if nothing else.
But yeah, you're right, and then that's different, though. If we had someone, like, say, one person, yeah. we have those to the sewer. Actually, it was whoever's our sewer and water type person, so it's kind of like we do. They would be here, but if you want them on, to be take one of the seven, we would have to, and make it actual, either appoint them at large, or we'd have to go change the resolution. I'd go change the resolution. We haven't even started. You know, but you can appoint someone. So yeah. if you want, or assign, like we've done, the person that was really coming to our utilities committee mm-hmm. was, you know, that person would be kind of a liaison, like Don's talking, like you did the Planning Commission. Because Planning Commission does not have a council member on it.
Right.
I don't know of a Planning Commission anywhere that has a council member on it.
Well, then it would seem easy to solve by just having somebody commit to attend the meetings.
Or if you want to put one on as a voting member, you can.
Yeah, I mean, there's that option.
You guys have two spots to fill, so...
So when do we decide that? Or?
You could do it. I mean, we can do it whenever. Once I get to where I can get seven people, we can start meeting. I can't meet until we... So, it's well, there. That's your resolution.
Just reserve one spot.
Yeah, so. Exactly. If that's what you're thinking. So then what we need is, if you think one of you will do it, if you agree that way, then you still need to find one other that you guys get to appoint. But I was thinking you'd keep that open, because then when you fill these other little spots, it gives you flexibility, because yours can be anything. See, it's not a category of a neighborhood or something. So it's kind of like you need to get the pool of people who are interested. Then you look at your categories, and you say, hey, this one could represent the chamber because they're a chamber member.
Yeah.
This one's on the Planning Commission.
Because you may have some folks that are really interested in doing a good job, and you may want them to fill the whole board.
Right, right.
So it may not take a counselor. So I think Rick's right. We need to get that pool just
together
like
first.
Pool.
Okay.
And yeah.
And then decide.
Mm-hmm.
If I may, the way the list appeared on the website, it looked like the spot for a counselor was meant to be maybe a non-voting position.
I'm wondering if that's the old one. Is it,
that it wasn't in a resolution, it was just a list of what the positions.
That might be, because we originally created the Public Works Commission quite a while ago.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and then we changed this, and it could be that you've got, I haven't looked at it, the old one's on there.
Yeah.
Just attach the resolution, and then when you're listing, take these categories, you know, follow what the resolution says exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, again, to the average person, if they're interested, they're going to call us and we'll see if they fit in. I mean, that isn't why we don't have only one person wanting on. It's just, it's hard to get people interested. So,
yeah, go out and beat the bushes. Okay,
and if we get to five, I think we go ahead and start.
Yeah.
We just run short.
Mm-hmm. Are we content with that?
Yep. After you get going?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, the more they have to do, the more you get people interested. And that mm-hmm. may be part of the problem.
That's what I'm thinking. It feels like it's too far out.
Yeah.
Moving along, then item 12 is committee chair lengths of service.
I wanted you guys to talk about this. Has come up. It's been some people have come to me and have raised that issue. You've all been on boards and committees where it's everyone has fun with the railroad, and even though maybe half the group is ready for a new chair, but who has the guts to say anything, and then the one who supports the chair does the railroad joke and rah rah hoo hoo, you're it again, and you know, and it's very uncomfortable for someone to raise it. You've all been through those.
Yep.
And the thought is, as a policy, we don't pass a resolution, but if we just say to our committees as a policy, we want a chair no more maximum of 2 years and rotate, so that you have new people coming to that chairmanship, and we'll just start going using that.
Yep.
I didn't know if you cared, or you know, there's boards that have had the same chairmen for 10 years around.
I think it's important. I think it's important to rotate. There are people who have good ideas, and then there can be people who want to stick with it, and some of that train stuff you're talking about. I think it's a good policy to rotate them. I know that the County Planning Commission rotates annually.
I think it's pretty sure it's annual.
I think it's every year.
Yeah, some boards probably do it annually. Some would go 2 years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Planning commission has done 2 years.
Huh?
The planning commission so far has done 2 years. The same chairperson.
As a policy or just as a practice?
As a practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it ought to be you know, every a maximum of 2 years. You know, if they're agreeable to do it 2 years.
Then sure. It could be less.
Yeah, it could
right.
be less.
Okay. Okay.
So maybe if one of you want to make it just a motion as a policy, the council would like to see all of its boards and commissions rotate chairs every couple of years. So that's on the record, and it's yeah. just something we'll try to incorporate.
So then the chair would be ineligible for a third
They'd
year.
They'd have to sit out a year.
Oh, mm-hmm. And then they would be
yeah.
eligible again.
Yeah, once you're no longer, you know, it's not a governor.
Okay.
Kids probably could come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a 2 year term limit, but once you're out, you can come back.
Somebody
maybe they could only be out for 6 months and come back. I mean, you know. But it's just, again, we don't need to make a book on it, but it's more of a direction, I think.
Yeah.
It takes the heat away from, you know, it's all relationships on these little boards, and it's hard for someone to raise their hand and say,
yeah,
you know, it's time to change.
I'd make a motion that we make as a policy that our chairs of our committees serve a maximum of 2 consecutive years at a time.
My second.
Second.
Any further questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Does that go for the mayor too?
Well, actually, it'll be a 2 year deal.
It's a 2 year deal.
Yeah.
Let the record reflect that the motion was unanimous.
Okay.
Gaming. So gaming. Social gaming.
The report, you know, I've sent out a kind of a draft on that, and a couple issues have kind of popped up. So I'd like to hear from you guys, so we can go kind of start to wrap that up. It was not to regulate bingo, and the other, and actually, you had a call today or tomorrow?
Yes, I did today.
Okay. Is the canned food thing, and I thought maybe I didn't quite understand. The canned food issue, and so I told Jeremy, why don't you go ahead and you and the mayor can have a call on this whole how we're going to exempt, because I didn't know on the canned food, if you take it in, does that mean I get to the game free? Can I put a box at the door and I put a canned food in, I can just play? I wasn't sure, do they gamble with the canned food? So I thought, let's
the mayor do it.
Let's take bingo.
Okay.
I got from folks that you guys didn't want bingo regulated.
Correct. The state regulated.
Okay. Look, in my conversation with the city attorney today, he wanted me to make a very strong statement that the state holds exclusively reserve bingo and those associated kinds of games is done and does not allow the at any level in the state to regulate them in any way or have anything to do with them. It's done at the state level and that's it. So he said he had no problem putting a very specific statement in there that says that, but that's really all that needs to be said about it, he said. So
bingo won't be regulated and will
by the city.
Right.
In any way, shape,
right.
or form. Right. The other Are we done with that?
Yep.
Okay. The other point was about the cans. He said the state allows the municipalities to regulate that on their own. He says he cannot see any reason why that could not be established, that somebody who wanted to donate, or to a municipality that wanted to require allow somebody to donate a can as a function of playing in the game would in any way interfere with the idea that they can't charge a fee for somebody to play. In other words, it can be done. There's no reason that they can't. But he will go off and talk to the OSB, who is the policing force, and the DOJ to get a read if there's something back there that isn't what his legal feelings are about it. So it can be done. And he can write it.
So
a donation of a can of food.
Okay.
You know, an establishment can.
So in lieu of a fee?
No, not in lieu of. Can require a can of food to be donated for the to be.
My wondering then if it doesn't even need to be in the ordinance. In other words, that's what I thought about the guy at the bowling alley, because he brought it up. He said, if he says we're doing poker on Tuesday nights, and I want you to play in the game. I want you to drop a can of cream corn at the door. And then you go on and do your game and you bet and do whatever it is, however you do it. Does it need to be in the ordinance?
Well, that was his problem before. He got shut down for that doing that.
Well, so...
That's right.
Then, that's why... Well, wait for Jeremy, because I can't figure out... I'm like Adele. I'm like figuring out what I put in here. That businesses can take canned goods...
Can require a donation of canned goods.
Require? You're going to say they have to do it?
Well, okay. Can. Have the option to require it. And I said those very words to him. And he said that could be written into it, and he saw no reason why it wouldn't fly.
So, I go in there and want to play. Do I have to buy my way in?
No. You have to buy in at the table.
Okay, so now I can bring in this instead of buying in. The water.
Nope. To come in there and play in that establishment, that owner requires that you bring in a can of a donation.
There's that word, though. Required.
Right. What if he requires everybody to wear pink?
Now, if you show up with every hand, you don't play.
No.
It is the same thing. Say leave it.
Yeah, right from Jeremy.
I mean, I look at it as, to be honest, as if he can just have a donation box there, because you're still going to buy into the game, mm-hmm. and he can just tell people, hey, it's canned food. It's canned food on Wednesday nights. We like everyone, and they might bring a sack full of canned goods and stick it in. I'm not sure it has a big impact on the food bank or anything else, one way or the other.
I think that it's in what his statement was when he first approached his own subject, that in the year and a half that he was playing the game, had the game going in his establishment, he collected 45,000 pounds of canned goods. I think that's significant. I think if an owner wants to do that, wants to require that, if you're going to play in my establishment, then you have to bring in a can of goods.
But you're saying require.
Mm-hmm. But it's optional to the owner. I mean, if you've got three places in town and two of them don't want to do that, that's fine. They don't have to do it. But an owner has the option, if he wants to, or she wants to, to donate a can.
I'll ask Jeremy more about it, because it seems
to go up and check
right. Because I'm surprised that that's going to be legal. Because what if he says you have to bring coats in the winter, mm-hmm. and then where does it go from coats and food? You know, because they don't want that kind of stuff involved with gambling.
Well, my personal opinion, if I went there, if I was required, I might bring one can. But if they say, hey, we'd like donations for food, maybe I'd go to our cabinet and open it up and say, hey, we haven't used this for a long time, this for a long time. Take a sign for it, because that's what I would do.
That's what you do.
I think if it's necessary, it may be a case, and he'll come back to it, come back to us with it. But I think if it's going to be, if it's necessary to put it in there, then I think it's a valuable thing to be in there. If it's something that we're regulating it, and it's not necessary to be in there, and he can require it, then it doesn't have to be in the ordinance. I got no problem with that. I just think it's something that.
But is there a strong feeling on this? I don't see
I have a strong feeling to keep it out.
Other than yourself.
He's doing very well if he collects 45,000 pounds of cans. And
but he got shut down for doing it.
The whole...
Was it because we didn't have...
We did not have a green in there.
That's why.
Okay.
It wasn't probably because of... In other words, he didn't get a key. If he'd taken away the can issue, could he have kept going? No, I don't think so. No, we don't allow him.
That was my understanding.
That's my understanding.
No, because he could start it now then. He doesn't need us to do this ordinance.
Right.
But he wants to do the can.
No. That's not true. He cannot go down and run, I don't believe.
The way it was explained to me, the first time that I was approached on it, and it was approached by the administrator at the Moose Lodge, is that they cannot legally have a card game for any reason without the city having an ordinance. Not legally. Now, they have card games going on, right, but it's not being done legally, and if they come in and catch them, they'll shut down the whole thing, take out their estate.
They can probably do them for no money.
Right.
For everything now. But I don't know, can they do it for money now?
I'm not sure.
I've been in there, and he has card games, but I don't think they're doing it for money.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to get into money, like Culver and Sisters and or Metropolis,
then
you have to have the ordinance.
Yeah. Probably right. Yeah.
I think that's how.
Yeah.
Well, I think we need to have the ordinance because if they want to have gambling, they're going to have it one way or the other. And we might just as well make it legal because that's what some of our citizens want.
I think I'd also like to point out that the minute he got shut down, he laid off 5 employees.
But that's not because of the canned food.
No.
That's because he was shut down.
Right. But I'm saying also, the whole idea of having the ordinance, it has that other aspects to it. But I would like to see the...
You guys have supported having the gaming ordinance. And obviously, bingo, we've solved that. We'll spend some time on the canned food side of this. I hate to spend, a ton of money on attorneys going too far down it unless they're, again, it is a 5-person council and I don't know where the council wants to go.
I think it's safe to say that he's going to come back with an answer. He said he was going to call you.
Yeah.
And I said that would be good for me. And explain to you what that was. I don't see any harm in it being in there if it's not a problem.
What if it's not?
What?
Do we want to delay it? Do you want to move it forward without the canned food issue?
If it takes it to be in there for him to do that, I'd like to see it in there. But if it doesn't have to be in there for him to do that, then hey, let's move forward.
Okay, I got it.
Any kind of social gaming, that's out of you guys' blessing.
Yeah.
Okay. Part owner of the Homestead Tavern, and we've looked into this issue before.
Yeah.
And it has to have the city's blessing.
Yes.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
The can good part, that's a great idea.
Okay.
If that's what he wants to do. But we still need the city's blessings to consider doing any type of social gambling.
That's exactly
that's
what I
would
say. Let me thank you very much. And since we've heard there, Mayor Kitty.
Thank you. On these benefit kinds of things, a lot of organizations ask for a suggested donation. That might be an easy way to throw that in there and get around it.
Jeremy felt there would be no problem with it. So let's go back to that and leave it, and we'll come back to it.
So probably next month, we should, well, I'll come with one. I'll send you guys out a draft that is either with that or without it, based on what Jeremy says. And then we'll add our sentence on bingo just to make sure everyone knows that we're not going to regulate bingo, even if it's kind of an extra sentence.
And he said he would do that.
And then we should be able to adopt it maybe in October, so then, you know, by November, you guys are the only ones that want games. I don't know, but these guys can start doing it if they want. And Patty Stell is sending me, they have a little application form, and she's been working on them. She just sent me, she said it's still not perfect, but she sent that to me the other day. So she said we can steal her stuff.
Okay. any other comments around
that? Well, the thought I had was, I mean, we could move on this probably with provision subject to it being legal according to Jeremy's determination. I mean, you know, I don't know if any of us care if there's a can thing in there or whatever. But
it's not ready now to be approved. Okay. I think that there's enough.
Need a little more.
Yeah.
Questions? Okay.
And we told them what's going to be rolling. It'd be probably 3 months or something. Yeah. We're not. We'd like to.
And I see it coming back in next month's meeting, and whatever's there is there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And we can do it.
And then I think time to move on it. Yeah. You're going to change it later if you have
sure.
to.
Sure.
That's just that word require.
I'd like to see it in writing before I vote on it.
Okay. Optional.
Okay.
Item 14 is other matters. There were no other matters, and we'll move to public comment.
I did make a comment on the social media.
Address and who you are?
Ted Shore, 15640 Cornell Drive, Lapine.
Thank you.
On that social gambling, I think OLCC has regulations that prohibit the establishment or dealers to take a profit off the game. And so that may be where the can comes in. And, you know, most organizations that ask for a donation do more than that. I think you might do that, but that's probably where it was construed. If it was required that somebody bring it, that, or if it was written in there that the can is used for social programs or whatever, donated to whatever, that might be wording that would be acceptable.
Yeah. And I think the attorney will bring that to us. So, anything else? Any other comments? Hearing none, we'll move to staff comment, committee reports.
Three minutes. I don't have any.
Okay, you get his 3 minutes.
No.
Don?
My staff report is the meeting I was supposed to go to. I was in the ER then, so I didn't go.
Okay.
You got your meeting coming up, though, your small cities.
Yeah, that's
on
next week.
The 22nd?
Yep.
I'd like to ask a question, Don, and I got this card in the mail, you know, regarding that. And I read somewhere, I thought something about we are hosting the lunch.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would expect that. And
we voted for it.
Can
too.
I?
Yeah, you came here.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Well,
you were here.
I think you
no,
did.
No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't vote.
I proposed. when I first brought it up and proposed it right here at this table, mm-hmm. I said that I would like to have the city host the lunch. And the reason for it being, this is the far end.
Yeah.
It has never been passed been before. So this is groundbreaking. Plus the fact that we've got the new city hall and all of the things that we want to show them. And I'm hoping that...
I'm sold.
That's all right, but I'm hoping that the chamber will have all kinds of brochures and everything there to make sure that the people that come down are well...
what is the date?
...ingrated on the values of staying in the farm.
It'll be in this room.
It'll what?
It'll be in this room.
The lunch will?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
will that many people fit in here?
Well, why are you jumping to that many people?
I thought there was a lot of people attending this event, 20 or 30 people.
Oh, no.
Actually, there's the last one that I attended, there was, I think, a total of 22 people there, and of the 22 people, six were presenters. And the rest were representatives of cities, and some cities had two representatives.
Okay.
And that's when it's located in the middle of the district.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's where everyone drives 2 hours. Here, there's people that it's a. There are a lot of those are boardmen. They're up on the gorge, mm-hmm. and
whether or not you have to RSVP to it.
Oh yeah, we'll know.
Well,
don't we
know?
Yeah, yeah, we'll know.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Okay.
Good.
Dan,
we're curious to see how many will come. He's been spoiled up and waiting.
That's good.
We've got a bus lined up with a driver. I think you're taking them around to show them the city and a few things. And Rick's already figured out the route, and we got it set ready.
We're going to go down in the industrial, we'll start in the city. We're down in the industrial park. We're going to go down to the senior center. We're going to go out, get out there at the new.
Little Deschutes Lodge?
No. We're going to the senior center. We'll point Little Deschutes Lodge. It's right there. And we're, this is a 45-minute tour. You know, people, you don't have, they're not, you know. So we'll go by the senior center and, then down to the new Parks District building, the event center, and then swing down to our new City Hall, and that's when they're done.
Okay. I have a suggestion. I don't know if you've already picked your caterer for this lunch, but why don't you kill two birds with one stone, have it at the beautiful senior center, have them do the cooking, and they see it, they eat, then you go about your tour.
I suggested that, but it was turned down.
This does not look like the kind of place I'd want to bring my League of City representatives.
It's a working lunch. We're going to have deli sandwiches and while they're working. And
okay.
Well, when it was planned, though, they were going to be at the new building.
A suggestion.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but the league, this is next week.
We do have the following week.
Yeah.
That's our lunch.
Adele, do you have anything then?
So Dan and I are working on the Lapine tour for the League of Oregon City, where people, the delegation from other cities are going to come down and take a look at us. So I'll just go real quickly what it is. Our first stop will be, we'll ride down, we'll do a little show on the way down about bioenergy. So that's the thing, is bioenergy. Our first stop will be the Lapine Industrial Park, and we're going to talk about the BioGreen plant. Then we're going to go to Mid-State. We're going to get off the bus, and we're going to show them the Gold LEED certified building and all the nuances of that. Then we're going to go to the Lapine City Hall Tour, and we'll disembark again and be updated on city events. Then we're going to get back on the bus, and then we'll go to the Little Deschutes Lodge, which is a Platinum LEED certified building. And then we'll, on the way home, we're going to pass through Crescent Creek Subdivision, and then we'll point out the new Roslyn School, and on their way home. So that's going to take them about, they'll get home at 4.
What time do they start that?
I plan to be here at 1:30, and we're leaving there at 12:30.
Do you know how many yet are on that bus?
No.
So when you, if I didn't ride down, mm-hmm. and I wanted to be at City Hall or be some point, mm-hmm. in,
I say 2:25.
2:25, mm-hmm. at City Hall.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be good, Mayor, if you could greet him there or something.
Yes. No, I will.
10 minutes
we,
to talk.
We've talked about it.
So.
10 minutes. Say 10 minutes.
Do I just get on the bus?
No. Yeah, 10 minutes. Yeah, I guess you could. If you don't finish your comments, you can get on the bus.
Right.
And talk until we get to the Little Deschutes Lodge, which is 5 minutes more.
Okay. So who's doing Lapine Industrial Group? Is that Ted?
It'll be Ted and the other kid.
Darwin?
Lee.
Ted and Lee? Has Lee confirmed?
I confirmed with him,
okay. Yeah, we planned on Lee.
Did Lee confirm?
We're unconfirmed.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Remind me again of the time you want.
Okay. All right, yeah. I think we should have a little meeting and then hash this all out.
Yep.
Okay. So you'll send out something that we'll all get together?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good enough. Any other chamber staff? Chamber?
I can't think of anything. Appreciate the city participating in the Heritage Fair event that we had. It was received a lot of compliments. People thought it was a good event, and hopefully we made some good connections and represented the city there.
We actually, the city had a booth, and Sewer and Water agreed to participate. They hung their banner up, and it was actually a great banner, and it was great to see the face of Sewer and Water there. It was part of Liggy was also in the same booth, and we shared these expenses. We actually talked to a number of new people from a year, been in the area a year or two, reasonably new, and it was well worth it. I had no problem justifying it.
Very good. You know, there are a lot of new people moving into this area, more than you think. I mean, it's almost a daily basis there's somebody saying, oh, I just moved into the area. You know, they're not all in the city, but, you know, they're surrounding the area.
I asked one, are you interested in volunteering? And he said, yes, we are. You know, and I gave him my card, and I said, well, send me an email and with your email address, and I can lay out a bunch of volunteering for you. So, and they live out by that one that was very interesting, lives out at Sun Forest area. Down that way. Anyway, okay. Staff comments?
Let's see. Next Tuesday, the realtors will be having a meeting on our the program that will help with down payments, and gave out some things. And Ted introduced me today. I went to the realtor meeting at 9 this morning, and so handed out 15 flyers to those folks. So certainly they got personal attention and the flyer handed to them. So they're going to be here next Tuesday at 11. So if we can get some interest in getting some of that grant money that we got with the Housing Authority in Redmond and all of that, because she had sent out some emails and got no response. So it's a matter of educating, and I think today helped, maybe, because, again, talking to them, we'll see what happens there. You know, it could be we won't get not much of the money we'll get used. We'll have to see how that plays out over time, and then maybe we could adjust where it goes.
Yeah, right.
TSP, ODOT, and I are meeting down here next week. We're going to do a tour, and they're getting ready to kind of figure out what we want in our TSP for the actual, when they put out the request for proposals for the transportation system plan. And so we'll be meeting on that. Besides, on the way up here that day, I'll be at the quarter 97. There's everything, there's this traffic highway stuff where they keep it, it looks like a full-time job. And the city hall's over there today, and that's looking good. So no major problems. And they changed the color. The color, they did a little paint thing on the one end of the building for the outside.
Oh, I saw that.
Then, you know, take you back a hair, just kind of. So then they decided that once they saw it on there. So they changed that. So now there's paint at this end that's a little bit different. But it's kind of a yellow, it's kind of a yellowish thing. You know, if you look at Sisters, it's kind of a green city hall with some yellow. And so, it's, you know, this is kind of the green roof with the blue. It's kind of a gray blue right now, so it's a definite color change, and you will notice it when you see the city hall. And I'm not a colors person, so I have absolutely nothing to say about it. Inside the other room, maybe before you go, there are a couple chairs. One is would be the council chairs and for the presenters, and then also the chairs for the public. The colors are, the architect came down today, and we picked on colors and stuff. So be prepared. I will be coming to you. You need to get this going. Is with Carol Gregg, the company, Smith Company, that does kind of call it industrial furniture that lasts. You don't go to Office Depot to find furniture that's going to be around in a public meeting room, and it will be around for a decade or more. So this company, what they do is they have it. It's with Minnesota or something. We have to join. It's a big bid thing that they have, that like a public contract bidding thing. Mm-hmm. So you go through them, and I think Adele actually hooked me up with her, and the Bend is bought from them, and the fire districts and all kinds of others. So, but it's going to be about $11,000 to do the council room. And we budgeted total of 20, I think I have 25 or 30, 25 in the budget. And that's to get the 50 chairs, but you know, chairs are, you need to have steel chairs, and they have to, you have some with arms, some without, they have to be industrial strength, and they have to be ready for all sizes and things. And same with the other chairs. So, as you well know, if you've ever bought chairs, you think chairs are $50, but they're not. And they have to stack. That changes things when you need stacking, because when we're going to have an event with tables or something else, you don't can't have 50 chairs sitting all over in the place shoved in a corner. You're going to have to be able to stack them 8 or 10 high. So, anyway, I want you to be prepared that there'll be I'll be coming in here with a thing here the next couple weeks on that to get those coming, because the city hall will be done 4 weeks from now, basically 5 weeks, and they need 3 weeks to get them, and so expect that.
Did you get the date of the 7th?
What?
For being complete?
It won't be done on the 7th.
Well, Darwin reported that yesterday, having talked to the superintendent. So.
I don't know who Darwin. I hope Darwin's right. You know, it could be. They're only off a couple of days. It's not. They're not too. They're doing fine actually. But you mm-hmm. know, the big cabinetry's not in there, and they're done sheetrocking, and it's smooth and sanded and been spackled. Painted. So, well, it's not painted.
Part of it. I was in there today, mm-hmm. and he was painting.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's insulated. So we'll be, then I'm starting to work on, you know, we're going to need a new server. Our server's too old, and we keep having all these problems. If you notice this weekend, those of you on there.
Yeah.
And it's just that the server's old at this point, so we need to start out. I over here with a new server. That this one's been here since you started. And higher, a little higher. You know, now faster capacity and bigger everything. And then that phone doesn't work very well. I hate our phone. And they think part of it could be this whole server issue. Mm-hmm. So one thing about it, by getting the new wiring over there and a new server, we will see if the phone works better. So it's a process of elimination. But here, you got all this whole building is fairly old with other wiring, and it's shared with the county. And so we'll, you know, so we'll also be coming in at some point here for some computers and things for over there also. And then also then the other side will be the office side of it for furniture. We've got this hodgepodge of stuff here that obviously won't work. And I put out today Patty did for the RFPs for our software system, because we're hiring our new finance person, and so we need to be getting our software that they're going to work with. And there's no point in having them spend a lot of time learning a system that we're going to get rid of. So I've got that till, I think I put the 7th of October, I think it's the date. Anyway, it's first week, Friday, the first week of October, it has to be in. So we'll get some things. And then that's kind of a sit-down interview process with these software companies. And that, we budgeted $25,000. It's going to be a $20,000 item.
Rick, did we had that one software people came in
Cassell.
Right.
Yes.
And wasn't there a tie at that time between sewer and water? They have some segments of that, and is that
well, they did use Cassell. They're using QuickBooks for their bookkeeping, and then they have another brand for their billing side. All of that, we will basically, you got to get the vendors in, and then you'll tell them what they're using, and they'll migrate these over. And so at this point, you just need to get the vendors in and not try to pre-guess it. There's only four or five that will probably respond to us.
Will we use experience of other municipalities to guide us in any way?
They're going to have to tell us who all they're doing business with, and we'll talk to those folks, and they're going to have to be some in the region. You know, we're not going to branch off on a software company that has not a client in Oregon, and they got 32 clients and they're based in Florida, because what will happen is you buy the system and then they will be gone.
Yeah.
So you know, price is actually further down the list on this. It's functionality, service. Is there others in the area? Right. And that's why there's really going to be about three or four that meet that criteria for our size city. So that probably late October will be coming in and, you know, we're coming in and buying, getting that system.
Do those programs, do they have like asset management and that type of thing on it or no?
On these software companies?
Mm-hmm.
Meaning asset, what do you mean by
would that? Would that be a
Are you talking about our inventory type software?
Yeah, that it's, yeah, that we can asset, that we can, like, take inventory and
the mayor's
do the
depreciation
schedules.
Yeah, in fact, it's funny you mentioned that because Mary and I were talking about that today. See, that's one thing like QuickBooks doesn't do. So what would happen, say, in our new system, I'm not a finance guru, but you're going to enter in that laptop, we're going to buy it, and they're going to put it under capital or something. Then they're going to want to know, it's going to have a depreciation schedule, because maybe that's a 3-year or so on. And then if you want to go hit a button and say, here's a list of our inventory depreciation schedule. Right now, Patty has a list. So today we were saying, oh, well, we need to go add the car sisters gave us, we need to add the laptop. You know, all of that will change with these kind of systems that are integrated.
Yeah, well, yeah, because I think it's going to be important once water and sewer come over.
Yes, sure. Definitely.
Definitely.
And I want to put in and see if I'd like to get one, or at least know if it's available. If we can't afford it this year, we can add a module for planning and building and codes. I think that I kind of get poo-hooed on that when I talk to some people about it, but I'm thinking, planning departments are always in trouble. People are always mad at them. And I just think this idea, like today I had a complaint, you know, on Cassidy, of course, because that's where you spend your time. So, you know, you need the key and the addresses and the type of complaint and the pictures and everything else. So then, you know, you can pull up streets, you can pull up whatever, and, you know, you really have a system. And someone comes in and wants a sign permit, you know, you get their name, their address, their tax lots, and you key all this in, and you have a database for permits and things. Otherwise, you end up with a bunch of files.
Right.
And so I'd like to, you know, move that way. That can cost you some money, and so we'll see.
Because we can tie it into the database of the water and sewer districts. Because each of those have lots, probably have numbers somehow.
Yeah, I think I think these systems, once you get a name and address and everything is pretty cross done in there. So that is coming. So we're going to be spending some money, and we'll be have a lot of things coming that will roll along because of we're moving in and finishing the city hall. And I have our sign lady working on from Gilcrest. Always signs, and I got her working on lettering, because what I'd like to do is when you've got that big B, and up there somewhere, we've looked at a couple locations, but if you look at Sisters and Primer, you kind of get the bronze cutout channel letters will say City of Lapine, and then out front of the door above the council chambers it will say council chambers, and coming in the parking lot it'd say City Hall. So people know, and you know, it's all of those little things that have nothing to do with the contract that I'm working on. And her and I have met a couple times on that, and we want that to look classy. And you're coming down the road.
They are going to finish those dormers that weren't completed, right?
Yeah, everything gets finished and painted and fixed up.
What about the doors on our rental over here? Is that going to be?
It all gets painted.
Okay.
The whole building is painted. Or varnished or
whatever.
Yeah, whatever has to be done. I got bids in today on the snow plowing and grading. We have to start thinking of our snow plowing. And I haven't even opened them because I've been here. Because they came in at 5 and then went and did other things. So we did get some competitive bids on that.
I read in that in the request for proposals something about down in Cago. About what? How it's worded that they will grade within the existing
streets. Street.
I mean, because you go down to Doe and those trees come in
and I know that there's trouble getting in there to to do the
Right now we're moving to winter. We're not we don't have any proposal right now. We did the test. We did it out on Cato Road and it worked great. So I think that next spring, you know, I think to look at maybe do the whole subdivision if we'll have city manager then full time, and I mean that's something to, you might want to do that full subdivision depending, you know,
right,
get those trees cut back. Oh, that's probably plenty. I could go on because there's always the main thing.
Council comments?
One other thing, and let you comment, and I think it's important they know that Liggy wants to have a facilitated session, or you left maybe, but you're there, but they're going to get a facilitator to talk about, and the city, be the city, the county, right? Go.
I had left, but I got two phone calls about it already, so.
Okay. Well, Liggy, their board meeting yesterday, wants to have, and they'll do it before the end of the year, have a session because it involves the city, is what Liggy is trying to figure out, what are they going to be in the future, you know, everything just like sewer and water, you know, they were there because that was the need, the city came and those needs changed. What the county did, the industrial park, because there was no city. And they formed Liggy and they've had that and they've had Lee Smith manage it. And where does the next 5 or 10 years take us with that? And there was talk that it, at some point, they said it, probably most of the board members said it, there was talk you turn it over to the city at some point and the city manages it. And the other question that came up was, Liggy was really just designed to be a marketing, that was the word they used, it was to market the industrial park. But then now when they get leads, then they go beyond marketing. And so it's like, where, what is their role, and how has the mission changed since they started? And then I think also the fact that we at some point, you know, gonna wind away. And so there's issues ahead. So they decided to have a kind of a retreat with a facilitated person and kind of get the main players together for a retreat to talk about where does the industrial park and how does it correlate with the new city and county and all of those things. So I think it's a good move. And that passed. They had a split vote. It was kind of funny. They had a split vote because two of them wanted to do it 60 days and a couple of them wanted to do it 90 days. And they had a 2-2 vote. it'll be before the end of the year. And I did say if we had to contribute a little something to help with the facilitator, that between Liggy, the city, and maybe Midstate, the three entities or something, each had to throw in a little bit of money. I think it's important to get a good facilitator on this. Yes. The one that we had for sewer and water is not, would not be on my short list. You know, we need someone that knows economic development that can pull the comments out and kind of then get it written down, because this is important. You know, they're talking about branding. I mean, I think that we're getting too many directions, and I think that this.
So is this the branding effort that's...
No, they didn't talk about branding.
That was on my list, but I never got to it yesterday at the meeting.
Yeah, branding. But I think you almost need this thing before you talk about branding.
Yeah.
So I think the fact when they went down the branding thing and this, it's a little not sure of where, you know, you're in rough waters.
We haven't gotten our foothold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's important, though, that the city is going to be involved in some fashion, and that by participating in this, we'll have the city manager there to... represent the city, because it is important for our future. Something's going to happen in some way, because I think you said that Jefferson County did the same thing with Madras and said, hey, you guys do it well. I can see Deschutes County saying, hey, look, just, you know, it's in Lapine now. Lapine take over. So being prepared and having an understanding of what Liggy's role in life is as they move forward is important to the city.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
So that's it.
Council comments?
Nothing new.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Second.
You can make comments.
Second.
Oh, okay.
Aye.
The ayes have it. We adjourn.